So when I say the alpha, for most of the women that I serve, they will not like that word. That's why it's also triggering. And one of the things that I had to do in the last couple of years is remove the word successful, high achiever, from my marketing, because I realized that my clients...
Why don't I tell that with it?
But it's beautiful that we have this conversation, right?
Hey, hey, and welcome to the 40s Formula, your go-to place for insightful discussions on navigating the 40s and thriving in this transformative decade.
We're your hosts, Jasmine and Amanda, two women that are passionate about exploring the challenges and adventures that come with turning 40 and what lies ahead. Elika Tasker guides business leaders and organizations to manage their energy to have more impact. With over 10 years of coaching experience, a restaurateur, food consultant, and professional speaker, Elika is the trusted advisor for those that seek more peace, joy, and harmony personally and professionally. She is featured in documentaries with Channel News Asia, MediaCorps, and is a member of Asia Professional Speakers Association. Her signature program, The Health Concierge, integrates her knowledge of evolutionary biology and quantum physics in a lifestyle and coaching support system that has guided hundreds of leaders to be in the top 10% by reaching physical, mental, and emotional well-being.
So today we have the privilege of interviewing one of our wellness colleagues, Elika Tasker. She is a specialist in energy optimization. She works with high achievers to reach the next level in their careers. She has a long and storied list of clients that we are so lucky to have you here with us today. Welcome, Elika.
Thank you so much, ladies, for having me. I'm so excited to delve into this topic.
Yeah, so let's delve in, though. Let's talk about the reason that you are here today, which is something that you and I kind of had an off-air chat about that I thought was so intriguing, and that's the concept of the elite alpha.
Yes.
So can you talk us through, just first of all, how you define it? What is the elite alpha, and why is this revolutionary in wellness?
You know, it's always very difficult when I share new topics like this, because I'm very conscious of how I am, where I see things usually before they actually hit most people. And so elite alpha is one of those. And I'm going to tell you, it's also going to be one of those things that we're going to be talking about for years to come after this conversation. But for me, what this definition is it goes back to a lot of principles that I teach around evolutionary biology, quantum physics, and even anthropology, about how we are as humans and how we're designed and have been for thousands of years. So one of the things that we know from that is that we are social creatures. We moved in tribes for survival. And in those tribes, every single person had a unique gift. And that was so important for the tribe's survival. And so if you can imagine, the men, they were the hunters, and the women, they were more staying in safety in the tribe. But within that tribe, there was always a woman that had to have more of the alpha gene for that troop to survive, for that community to survive. And if you can imagine, if all of them had that kind of genetic code, that kind of wouldn't be too good. Like, truthfully, I don't want everyone to be like me.
Yes.
You know? So this comes back to this sort of genome that exists. And in my work, I have been starting to slowly see the patterns of the women that I serve and noticing, firstly, they're more like me. And secondly, they have these traits, not all of them, but I would say about 80% of the women, and I coach men and women, have this. And so I've started, because I look at testings and all that, I started to notice that. So a couple of things that I've noticed is, from a genome point of view, that we look at the blood types, they tend to have blood type O. Now, blood type O was known as the original blood type, the meat eater, more of the carnivore. Not to say that they all are all of that, but this was what is linked to that. Remember, some people are not on the pathway of their most authentic self, so they don't even know, they're not even behaving the way they should, but that's one of the things. Yeah. The other thing is, when we study brain waves and brain activity, and not everybody gets their brain studied like I do. I am a neuroscientist on health concierge, so I get mine actually examined, but they have more of an alpha brainwave activity. The alpha brainwave activity is this flow state. So we stay in these higher states of frequencies where we just do things so with so little effort. And this is the other thing that I see. When we look at the microbiome, when we look at the gut activity, we can also start noticing all of the bacteria that we have. And so Lactobacillus, this is one of those. So I see all of that activity happening. So interestingly, I am in my own work starting to understand, how do I serve these people even more powerfully? Since it looks like I have a breed of women within my community that I need to serve in a completely different way and support them in a different way. So does that kind of give you a bit of feel for it?
Yeah, it does. And that there's, you know, there are, because one of my questions was going to be, right, like, are there commonalities between the elite alphas that you see and you coach? And you're telling me, yes, you're seeing brainwaves, you're seeing it in gut health, you're seeing it in, obviously, behavior
as well. Diet.
I just want to try and figure out. So you said that you get this elite alpha in sort of in a tribe, and like a female who would need to kind of keep everyone together. But was that just for the females, or is there then an elite alpha who tends to be the male who then keeps everyone in check? Because, yeah, I mean, usually when you think of alpha, you do think of males.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm trying to sort of get my head around this whole thing. Yeah.
That's it. I love that. You know, I think in this conversation, I'd love to break it down into the work, the relationships, and the health of these elite alphas, and how I distinguish it by those three categories. But to answer your question, yes, in the males we see it as well. So just look at the studies that they do around chimps. You look at their gorillas' activity. Look what they do. They show their balls. They show, and then what the, and they actually, when they studied them, they literally can see that more alpha one has bigger balls.
Yeah,
literally.
Oh, I've heard that. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So yes, we see it. And you know, these are conversations that honestly, I like to put a trigger alert when I talk about some of these things, because I know it's really triggering for some people when I talk about these things, right? Imagine I'm telling them that there is a group of women that may be more elite in how they can do things. Now, I'm not saying they're elite in all ways. I'm going to talk about the weaknesses, but it can be triggering for some people. But yes, in men, it's obvious. We see this. We see it when we look in our community. We see that guy that doesn't have a problem in getting women, doesn't have a problem in reaching the top of his career. And we'll say, I remember speaking to an old client of mine, and he said he works for one of the big four tech companies. And he said, Alika, be honest with you, I look at my team and they're so much more clever than I am. I'm surrounded by super intelligent beings. And I'll tell you, the reason I've got my job is because of how I look, because of where I come from, right? And because when you put me in front of the countries that I serve, like China, like Thailand, like the Philippines, like Malaysia, me being present in those rooms will mean that we can close certain deals.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
That is, like you said, hard pill to swallow for folks. My husband is one of these folks, and he's going to hate me for bringing this up. Love you, Thailand. Yeah. Here's the deal, right? So my husband is exactly who you described, right? He is physically attractive, but he owns a room, never had a problem getting girls, was always like, you know, like, and again, he will hate this, but it's true, right? That's never been something he had to try for. It just happens, right? And then with his career, same thing, right? He went to medical school, you know, he's reached like Asian elite status, right? Based on, you know, he's a doctor, successful businessman, whatever. Here's the thing though, this is what I want to bring up. He would never identify as an elite alpha. He never would. And I think, you know, he would identify as, this is like the thing that the teens are saying right now.
Is it Omega?
Sigma.
Oh, Sigma.
The Gen Zs are called the Sigma.
Yeah.
Is apparently the guy who's like, and a guy, gal, whoever.
Yeah.
You're successful, but you're a loner. You don't find
that's my husband.
Right? And this is where my husband would, I think, maybe accept that he's an elite.
Yes.
Sigma.
Yeah.
He's not successful because of his handsomeness. He's not successful because he followed the crowd of Asians going to medical school.
Yes.
No, he actually did something wildly different.
Yeah.
And again, on paper, it looks a certain way, but I think he would say that he lived his life quite independently, uniquely. I mean, marrying an Anamoto was like one of the ways in which I think it shows his Sigma status.
Yeah.
He's different.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about, is there an intersection between the alphas and the lone wolves, or are they the same?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is what I love about these sorts of things, because it depends which bit you want to zone in. Because if I zone in on alpha and I think of brainwave activity, right? If we were to study his brainwave activity, right? Is it theta? Is it more? So then we might go, but it's, look, it's predominantly an alpha. If you study my brainwave activity, I'm an alpha so much. So it really depends. But what we do know is, again, when we look at the tribe and we look at the individual roles in the tribe, there had to be somebody that was out on their own on the lookout. You'd stick that person on the lookout for danger. So what did that person develop in their skills? They learned to be good alone. They learned like a primal instinct that to look out for danger, but not need somebody else to give them, feed them information. Maybe it was their environment. Maybe it was the senses. Different senses were developed to do that. So you could say that the lone wolf, you know, they're a social creature. At some point when they were born, in the hospital bed or in, at home in the camp.
Cave.
Amanda, I think we need to let our listeners know that we don't just use the Meat Club because they're a sponsor of the show. They're a sponsor of the show because we love what they bring.
Oh, it is so true, Jasmine. It's been over a year with the Meat Club, and I can confidently say they have made cooking at home so much easier. Their grass-fed beef, organic chicken, and wild-caught seafood are the best quality you get in Singapore. And let's not forget, it's ethically sourced.
Yes, and beyond the quality, their subscription service is next level. When you subscribe, you'll unlock $140 worth of rewards, like on your second delivery, 2 exclusive Meat Club hats.
By your fourth delivery, a restaurant-grade chef's knife.
On your sixth delivery, a beautiful wooden chopping board.
And by your eighth delivery, a $30 voucher to use on your favorites. It's like they are rewarding you for making healthy choices for your family.
And it doesn't just stop there. The subscription model is perfect for busy families. Just click, set, and forget. Plus, you'll get up to 15% off your groceries with every subscription order. No last-minute dashes to the store.
The Meat Club really takes the taste of Australia and New Zealand right to your doorstep, making healthy living easy and stress-free.
And because you're part of the Forties Formula family, use code TFF12 for $12 off your first order with no minimum spend. Just visit themeatclub.com.sg to subscribe now.
And follow them on Instagram at themeatclubsg for exclusive content, cooking tips, and special offers. The Meat Club, rewarding families like yours with premium quality every single time.
Now, back to the chat.
If everybody left them after birth, they wouldn't have survived. So we know that they were still a social creature.
There's no lone moment, right?
Yeah, there isn't. Because take a calf. The moment a calf is born, within minutes, it could start to walk. So you start to realize that mammal can take care of itself. But a human baby is so delicate. We forget how delicate we are as babies. If you were to leave it alone after birth, it wouldn't survive. So that means that even the lone wolves are very much still social creatures.
So going back to relationships, when you have an elite alpha female, is she attracted to or a particular type of male? Now, I'm just trying to see, like, two alphas, would that work? Is it? Because when I've seen certain, like, you know, you will see a female who's, like, maybe more domineering, dominant in a relationship. Generally, her partner tends to be a bit more quieter. Like, does that work better? Like, what do you kind of find in terms of energies and and what is this actually called?
Like, relationships.
Well, you know, how I teach my elite alphas is exactly what I would do for myself, because I put myself in that category. So let's talk a little bit about the feminine and masculine energy to explain that principle. So these are not gender principles. These are energetic principles. Every single person has feminine and masculine energy. So men have it and women have it. The feminine energy is that part of us that is more flowing, more creative. Think about dance, think about art, think about nature. And the masculine container is more structure. Think about processes, think about systems, right? So that if I think about it in the sense of the river is just flowing. She sees a rock, she manages to go over it. She waves around, she goes over the waterfall. But the river needs a riverbank, because without the riverbank, that's a flood, right? There's no dam, there's nothing to contain it. So that is how I would translate feminine and masculine. So what I see is that these types of stronger women, definition of strong, let's keep that open for now. What they need is a strong riverbank. They need a stronger container. So if they have a guy that's, for example, you know, got issues with his self-worth, or he's still trying to figure out who he is in his life, especially around purpose, if he's still trying to figure out that, Unfortunately, he's not going to have the capacity to manage and hold the container of the power of this woman. So, of course, then you're going to get into this, oh, she's too emasculine, oh, she's too domineering. Yeah. You're going to hear all those things said. No, she's not. She is elite. And she just needs a stronger container. And do you have that strong container in which to contain her? Right? And so that's what I see is the dynamics in relationships. And that's why you see that sometimes what these elite alphas will go for is they will go for a guy that's not super into like having a successful career and being the top of his game and all of these things. He's not like the six-pack guy or anything like that. But actually, he tends to have more of a structured career, you know? So you tend to think, see things like engineers, you know, tech people, like the stable kind of, what do we call them? Blue collar type jobs, right? They tend to have more of those that they provide, they put the food on the table, there's more stability. There's not the, unfortunately, the highs and the lows of an entrepreneur where you don't know if the money's coming in one day. That doesn't really give her that sense of safety and security. Not to say it can't be. Again, all of us can do our individual inner work and get to the prime of that. And then what you see in her is that if she doesn't have that, she can't settle. So she starts to question herself, or maybe I should be less, a little bit less. Maybe I shouldn't go for that promotion and all the things. Does that explain?
Yeah. And just really quickly, does it work the same with guys? So for example, if you've got an elite guy, is he better off with an elite female, or do you find that he will then tend to feel better with somebody who's maybe a little bit on the back burner, or is in, you know, like they always say, behind every successful man is a strong woman.
Yeah.
Is it true?
You know, I believe that everybody has a different phase of their life. So if this was my son, I would say, you know, earlier in his, like, you know, obviously go do your education, get the education that you need, which I don't think I would send them to our current education system right now, but go get the education that you need. And then if you think about 20s and the early 20s bit, they're coming out of the education. That's, to me, a time where a guy in his life should be accumulating as much knowledge and as much skills, as much wisdom as they possibly can. Having mentors and doing a million things as possible and finding their niche. Right? And at this point, if they meet this woman, really what they should find is, who is the woman that's going to support their career development? Who is the woman that when they're going out and they enter this point where they know what they want to do and then they're building their career, who is the woman that can sit and support that? To be honest, is that the woman, being honest, that's going to be out all the time, every day, like building their own career? Unlikely. Does he want to have children? Again, is this the woman that she's putting her career aside at this time when he's building his career? And again, I'm not allowing for age differences or anything here. Is this the woman that's going to allow that? Or is this the woman that's going to be happy to nurture, take care of the children while he's building his career? So do you see? But again, in my prime of my life, right, I'm 42 right now. And I have this beautiful ability to be able to select. And having been married before and having seen, had an amazing partner, but I hadn't done my inner work, we hadn't done our inner work, I met him when I was 17. Like having this amazing opportunity that I have now to reselect from the tribe, I am making decisions because I understand this is the most important decision I can make. But for example, I tend to date upwards in terms of age. And when I look at that guy, I think about, okay, well, if he's already got his career, made himself, knows who he is, does he care if his partner's more alpha? No, right?
Yeah.
So depends on the season.
Yeah.
Amanda, you know how much I love Little Farms? Well, guess what? They've just come on as a sponsor and I am so bloody excited.
Oh, me too. I love that Little Farms isn't just a grocery store. It's been a go-to for top quality, all natural groceries and delicious cafe meals since 2016.
Same. And their commitment to whole food nutrition is amazing. Did you know they've got a banned ingredients list with over 200 items? That means no artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors, only real, all natural ingredients.
That is one of the reasons that I trust them so much. Every product on their shelves has been carefully vetted, making it really easy for us to make healthier choices for our families.
And they've really expanded now with 6 restaurants, including their all-day brand new dining spot in Sentosa. Each one has a consistent menu, but also features unique dishes tailored to the neighborhood, like rendang, lamb shank, and sesame tuna tataki.
Plus, they've got amazing weekly deals, like one-for-one small plates on Tuesdays, happy hour on Thursdays, and my personal fave, the kids eat free on Sundays.
And for our listeners, we have an exclusive offer. Get 10% off your online shop at littlefarms.com using code 40s10 when you spend a minimum of $100. It's perfect for stocking up on premium groceries, wellness supplements, and ready-to-eat meals.
Whether you're dining in, grabbing groceries, or stocking up on wellness products, Little Farms has everything you need to eat well and live well.
Now, back to the chat.
So seasonal match, I hear that. And I'm also someone who was married before. And for a lot of the reasons you're describing, it was like, you know, in the world where we are never, who knows?
Yeah.
But in that season, was not the right time. Because there is, you know, there's seasonality to even these, like you said, archetypes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm most interested in the health dimension, right? So obviously that is like my biggest passion, what I do for work. Mm. How does an elite alpha differ in her health practices, in the way that she embodies her health? Like, where do you see the elite alphas excelling through health?
Yeah. Well, because she can do it all, doesn't mean she should do it all. And so, you know, sometimes when you have an abundance of something, you don't really appreciate it. So let's relate this to, let's imagine water. In some countries in the world, a tap dripping water, you'd be like, what? Oh my gosh, because there's a scarcity mindset around water. Whereas all of us, let's be honest, we don't have a problem if we shower too long, if the tap drips a little bit, we're not, because we have an abundance of it. We tend to have more of an abundance of our energy. And because we have an abundance of energy, unfortunately, we are not managing it well. So we give it to everything, everyone, a ton of places, a ton of people. And so for us, it's actually quite easy to have this burnout, to suffer from the autoimmune diseases, because we just pour and pour and pour. And here's our to-do list. Oh, you want me to do that as well? Oh yeah, I can. Oh, okay. And we just add and add and add to our to-do list. So one of the things that I also noticed that we have to take away to-do lists from us, because we just know how to add to it. So when I look at the health, I think about, okay, if this is a person that is gonna go, she's gonna burn out her adrenal glands for sure, right? She's gonna have the thyroid issues. She's probably already had burnout or is on the way to burnout, right? So how do I take care of, from an organ point of view, how do I nurture these organs, right, that are responsible for managing energy, anything around metabolism, right? I also need to look after her liver, because guess what? She tends to have all of that energy. She tends to be more fiery. So the liver in Chinese medicine is also managing the emotion of anger. So on an emotional level, I need to look at things like anger and resentment in her life. So I work a lot on the emotional capacity of those emotions and how she worked through those. Right. So on the emotional side, on the mental well-being, there's that. On the physical side, there's, let me look at her movement patterns, and let me look at, does she have yin, more softer, more nurturing, more nourishing? Because this lady, she's going to be like, you want me to lift weights? How much? How heavy do you want me to lift?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So she's not going to have a problem in me getting her to work out. She's going to have a problem in me getting her to balance, as we would say in Asia, the yin and the yang, to balance the more harder workouts where she's sweating, she knows she's pushing it, she knows she's worked out hard, with the, are you okay doing a bit of yin yoga, some stuff? Are you okay with just stretching today?
I was just going to say, are you okay with a day off?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is terrifying.
Exactly. It is. You know, are you okay with a walk in park and just observing nature?
Yeah.
You can imagine, right?
Yeah.
So I need to balance that. So we can see these different elements in the physical body, and working on combination of the yin and the yang, the soft and the hard in her workouts. In the mental body, I'm looking at, where does she have space? Space for ideas and new things to come in without her having to get it through, having to work harder, having to ask a million people, having to read a ton of books, having to listen to a ton of podcasts. She can get those downloads that she needs by creating space for her mind to receive new insights. It's a co-creation always with the universe. In her emotional body, I'm looking at those emotions that tend to be more fiery, so the anger, the resentment. And then in the nutrition, I'm looking at things like adaptogens. She needs adaptogens, right? So I'm looking at things like the adaptogens, like Tulsi, Ashwagandha, that help her to calm her nervous system.
It's really weird. I genuinely feel like you have been describing me to a certain extent. You know, blood type, I'm an O negative.
All my clients are
I've got thyroid issues. Yeah. I've got, you know, like, I feel like I've always got things I need to do. I don't really take a moment to just switch off. Like, even when I'm walking, I'll be listening to a podcast and I need to get things in. But I don't feel like I am an elite alpha.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. And I'm wondering, I have no idea. Like, these are things I feel like, oh yeah, you know, that sounds like me, that sounds like me, that sounds like me. But I don't know if I, now, the way I am now, whether I'm going to be that person who will go into a room and try to dominate. Maybe in the past, I may have had moments of, okay, this is my time to shine. But I don't know, can you change? Can you take a step?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why you don't relate to it, because I totally feel you. Firstly, words have meanings. If you speak multiple languages, you'll understand, especially in the English language, where there's like one word for love.
Yeah.
So I love my back the same way as I love you, right?
Yeah.
The words are just the meanings we associate with them. Mm-hmm. When I say butterfly and cockroach, they're both animals, but just look at the meaning you have. So this is our cognitive bias. Mm-hmm. So when I say the alpha, for most of the women that I serve, they will not like that word. That's why it's also triggering. One of the things that I had to do in the last couple of years is remove the word successful, high achiever, from my marketing, because I realized that my clients
don't relate with it.
But it's beautiful that we have this conversation, right? Because I know that my clients, they don't relate to that. You know why? When we've experienced life in the way that we've had, and we've had these burnouts, and we've done the corporate way, we're like, go, and we've burnt our body out, our emotional, our mental well-being has taken a toll, we start noticing all of the beliefs that we had that led us to that. And some of those are related to those meanings that we have when we think of the word elite alpha. Mm-hmm. And actually, what I say about my clients is they're extremely heart-centered. What that means is they give a ton of themselves to people, places, and things, and they put themselves last. And that's usually one of the reasons why they get to the burnout state. Yeah. And so what we are is deeply loving, deeply nurturing, deeply heart-centered women. And does that mean then that I have to be the top of the game, a competitor and all that? Doesn't mean that I don't have these natures, but do I want to be that person that go, like, give? No, I always knew, even when I was in corporate and I had to be at the top of my game because they measured me by my numbers, how much money am I putting on the board? Even then, I knew there was a part of me that was like, I want to do this with people holding on to me on the way up, not stepping on people on the way up. Mm-hmm. And the reason I left was, that part of me that wasn't allowed to do that in order to be successful, I couldn't buy into it. I hate hierarchy. I hate it. And so that part of me that would look at, that would speak to the cleaner the same way I'd speak to my VP, I realized that that wasn't going to get me success in that environment. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that that might be part of why some of us, that we hear these words, elite alpha, professional, high achiever, and we're like,
yeah, could be.
Yeah, and I, you know, I always think about the concept of eliteness or alphaness or whatever associated closely with age. So for me, and this is a direct example from like my, and those listening, very amateurish CrossFit career. So here I am at 41, about to be 42, so I'm in the 40 to 44 age group. I'm mildly competitive, mildly, right? I am okay.
Yeah.
I will never be the last. I will never be the winner.
Yeah.
But I always joke, when I'm in the 70 to 75 age group, I'm going to be taking f***ing names.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because what I don't ever do is give up or take a break or take a pause. As competitive as I am now is as competitive as I was when I was 14 in gymnastics is as competitive as I'm going to be at 75 with those old ass ladies lifting that barbell. And so it's like I technically get more elite as I age simply because I don't slow down or I don't give up.
Yeah.
You know, I allow the best of my ability, and that gets better as I get older because my peers fall back. Does that make sense?
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I say to people, if you think this now of me, watch me.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, I have not even hit my prime. I get better with age like wine, but I tell you, I get wiser.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know,
this goes a long way, girl.
Oh my gosh, I so believe this to be true. And exactly like you, you know, when I was younger, I was a natural athlete. So, you know, I remember doing my first half marathon. I only went to Amsterdam because I could go on a binge weekend. And so I was like, okay, I'll go.
I'll get
You know, my coach was like, oh, if you could just train properly. Yeah. And, you know, and then I did the half marathon. I came ninth female and I did it in 1 hour 26.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know, and
for the non-running community, that's a great time.
I promise you, I didn't train. I just like, you know, rocked up and had a good time. But back then, that was because also I didn't need to, right? And so, and there was a part of me that would do what I needed to do and still had the competitive drive. But the thing that you really needed to be to do the best, I would never do it. Yeah. I never cared enough about that.
Yeah.
Because what did I care? The relationships, the social side of it, the people side of it. So when I got into my corporate career, it was the same. I was always in those top few billers in the corporate. I was in consultancy, I was in HR, I did recruitment. I was always in those top few billers. Would I be number one? Never. Why? Because you know what I had to do to be number one? I wasn't prepared to do it. I wasn't prepared to do it, right? And so as I go, you guys know that I deeply value human design as part of my work, because it really gives me and the clients this roadmap to our authentic self. And in human design, we have these different types of profiles. And one of them is a line, we call it a line six. And a line six, which is what I have, is considered a role model. But basically what it means is the first 30 years of our life is just trialing and testing.
Yeah.
And good and bad. Mm-hmm. So whenever you meet a six line, you know they've been through crap, right? And so what the beautiful thing of it is the six lines, we start to hit our prime at 50.
Wow. So you're 8 years away?
Yeah, so that means I know, and yeah, I could know intellectually, but I'm experiencing it. I'm experiencing right now. But there's a part of me that's like, I do still feel the bruises of what I had to go through in my life. Mm-hmm. And I still feel a bit sore, but I can tell it's over. And there's a part of me that's like, really, I get to have this life? Because I have cellular memory of my old life. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other part of me that sees how, yes, a bit like you, that I can see that when I'm 50, because I'm so consistent in my habits and they're so integrated, I will continue to do this. And the people that try this diet will fail because they just try it. The people that do this exercise at this extreme, they won't be able to keep on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'll watch them as they go through their binges of whatever the newest thing that's in trend.
Yeah.
And I will continue to do what human beings have done for thousands and thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I will continue to prioritize my relationships is the number one factor of my well-being. And that will always mean that I won't be extreme in anything because that's probably going to sacrifice my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But I will do good in all of it.
Yeah. And that is such a powerful way of framing it, right? Is that you are not doing anything that is crazy, extreme, insane. And I think when you hear Elite Alpha, you think they've got secrets,
yeah.
Right? They're doing something that the rest of us can't achieve or attain because it's so far beyond. We're not like that. Exactly. We can never have that. I'm hearing you saying is that it's actually by kind of scaling back to your authentic self and to what humans authentically that's giving you, that's allowing you to have
that's
that.
That's it. Because there's something in our genome that knows. Think about, you know, sometimes it's the same in human design when I talk about this. Everybody's looking at it from the perspective of now. But you have to think about, we were designed to live in a different environment now. Every single organ, muscle, tissue, our thoughts, everything is hardwired, our nervous system is hardwired for a completely different environment to what it is now. So as technology is advancing at the speed of light, evolutionary terms, we don't evolve that fast.
We're still the same.
And so when I look back, I think about things like the fact that, like, for example, food, like, you know, the Elite Alpha, she would have been able to go longer periods of time and given her food to her tribal members to take care of them, to nurture them and to nourish them, because she can. I mean, you know, I just started fasting. I was going to do a 24-hour fast. It turned out to be 72 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm like, go for it. But like, 72 hours? I'm like, that's just so me. It's like, I woke up that morning, my body was like, we're still not ready to eat. And I just keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
But I make sure everybody else is fed,
mm-hmm.
right? And because think about it, there wouldn't have been food available. So there needed to be one person that was able to go longer
yeah.
without it.
I'm laughing because this is me. Up until maybe 6 weeks ago, I was fasting 3 times a week for 36 hours. Prior to that, my longest fast is 72 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm still feeding my kids, making food for my husband, and, you know, making sure everyone else is fed. And, okay, so now I'm starting to think, they might, you know, maybe I have to be alpha without realizing I am.
Yeah. And it's everything. Like, if we built something, right, a storm could have come, our home. And remember, again, think about our primal ancestors. You know, men would have been out hunting. So, of course, one of the women if they couldn't come back with enough food, still needed to make sure everyone's okay. Mm-hmm. But think about the environment. Like, let's say in our camp, right? The camp could have, the storm could have blown it away, burned it away, anything could have happened. And we would need that instinct in us to know, don't worry, we can rebuild it. And if you watch how we are, like, I see this in sometimes in my business. I see it in relationships as well. Sometimes if I'm like, I don't like it, I will literally burn the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. I will like take all my videos down. I will like scrap it and I'll just do it again. Mm-hmm. Somebody else would be like, okay, no, that takes a bit of time. And they would take longer to do it, mm-hmm. and they would do it properly, but they wouldn't burn it. I would just start the whole thing again. If you look at my life, you will see just in Singapore, the 14 years of Singapore, I've had my corporate career. Then I left there with burnout. I had my restaurant career where I was told 1 in 10 survive the restaurant industry, Alika, in 3 months. So we would love to give you advice, but you're not probably going to be here. That's what an elite alpha woman, that's what she told me when I went to her for advice on how I could run my restaurant business. She went, literally told me, there's no point in me telling you because you won't survive because 1 in 10 survive the first 3 months. I was like, okay, thank you, Ivy. So, you know, and then my third career is, you know, after selling the restaurant and my second burnout, and God be willing, I got the download that I had to let go of the restaurant. I sold the restaurant successfully. Then my third career started, which is really an accumulation of everything, which is the health concierge and my coaching and lifestyle support. But the point is, I've literally burned down whole careers and started again from nothing. And when I say I started again from nothing, when I left my corporate career, you imagine leaving a six-figure job to run a restaurant. You know, if people don't know, restaurants are not where you make your money.
Newsflash. Not the cash cow you want to be.
When I sold my restaurant, you know, I did well, I won't lie, but I took a year off. I have worked since the age of 9. I took my first year off, right? And what I did was, because I believe money is energy, I felt that money was attached to an energy that I no longer wanted to be a part of, right? The extreme is part of my nature. And so I basically retired my mom and my family in Spain, and I literally started again, empty bank account, and sat and went, we get to do this, we get to rebuild from a different energy. And that's because, guess what she also has? She has this part of her genome, which is the resurrection gene. The ability to burn the whole thing down and start again. Is that a good thing? Honestly, I don't think it is. But just because we can doesn't mean we should.
Yeah.
But she can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm hearing that, girl. I mean, I think I have some of those tendencies as well, which is, you know, to cut, run, rebirth.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's like very, you know, but at the same time, I think there's also like, you can still connect the dots.
Mm.
You know, like there's nothing, I would assume, given what you just shared, you can't say the person you were in corporate is not the person you
Absolutely.
Are. Right? Like there's still a thread of connection.
Yes. And it's really clear for me from corporate. I didn't know that one of my biggest things, because I started my career in HR and CIPD qualified. My thing in corporate was this HR people side. Mm. When I started restaurant industry, you know what? It took me 3 months to learn the business. My chefs walked out on me in 3 months. I literally sat in my business going, I have put 350,000 of my own personal investment in this. How the hell am I going to do this? Sat in an empty restaurant going, ha. And okay, I made it work and I turned it around. But what, you know what the thing was? I had 50% staff turnover. That's the turnover in restaurant industries, sometimes more. 50% staff turnover. That's the equivalent of training your staff in 3 months knowing they're not going to be here and you have to do the whole thing again.
Yes.
You can imagine why I had a second burnout, right? So, but what was helping me was my HR background, the people management, my ability to hire, recruit and train, all of that from my previous career. When I started the health concierge, of course, I sat there having all these downloads, epiphany moments in my year out going, oh, wow, now I understand, God, why you have to take this away from me. I do not need a restaurant and operations to serve people powerfully. I don't need that. Thank you. I get it now. I promise I won't do this again.
You need the lessons.
Yeah, I needed the lessons. And what did I learn? I took all of the suppliers that I brought into Singapore, all of the functional medicine doctors, the physios, the personal trainers, the Reikis, all of these people that healed my body and my clients in all of these burnouts, and I pulled all them all together to create my expert panel. And then my own experience, right, of two burnouts and going, I'm not doing this again. Mm-hmm. I'm doing inner work. I'm going to rewire my nervous system and my brain so that I'm not in these patterns again. And so that was the thread that I brought through into the health concierge. So yes, you're absolutely right.
Last question before we get to our like real last question about the elite alpha. Mm-hmm. If whether you perceive that you're not one or whether you know you're not one, let's just say, are there lessons? Are there things that the elite alphas do that, like, if we're trying to become more like an elite alpha, is there things that they do that people who are not can start moving toward? So if you feel like, you know, you're someone that's maybe toward the other end of the spectrum, right? Who's like, I actually don't have my shit together. I actually struggle every day to kind of like get going and get moving. Yeah. What are some of the tangibles from the elite alpha experience?
Yes. The number one is mindset. She has a mindset, and I give this to Marie Folio. She's got a quote that I love, which is, everything is figure outable. Like, in our lives, like, if you tell me, I don't think that could be done, my brain is only figuring out how I'm going to get it done.
By the time you think of that sentence.
To me, it's not in my vocabulary. I can't, right? So, like, how I perceive the world is, my heart has a desire. I don't use my brain first for my desires. My brain will get me into crap, and it will get me doing, it'll get me people pleasing. I don't use my brain first, I use my heart. And here's the thing about the elite alpha. Remember, she has a very good primal instinct as well as the intuition. So the primal is her ability, her physical power to get things done. But she also has a very good intuitive instinct, which is what she needed to do to navigate around her environment. So I go to my primal gut, my sacral gut, and human design is sacral. So I go to my primal gut, and my gut tells me in that moment, it's this, it's this, it's this. My heart is telling me my desire. You desire this, you desire this. And then I go to my brain, I go, you tell me my encyclopedia, tell me how I'm going to do it. Go through the background in my encyclopedia, open the page, show me the how. And that's how I am. So the mindset that you need in this, is that the elite alpha hat, is this mindset that I just need to figure out the how. Not the what, not can, not I forget about my desires because people don't like it. No, just show me the how. Now your brain is going to start looking for that, because this is the beautiful thing about the brain. The brain will do exactly what you tell it to do. So if you tell it, I'm a victim, I can't, then you're a victim, I can't. If you tell it, I have this desire, can you show me how I can do this? It'll start looking for it. So that's a really, really, really important one before we get into anything else. Secondly, I think that the elite alpha knows that in the tribe, that there are going to be those people that have different gifts that can support her well-being. But she also knows if she's to get up and move to another tribe, they're going to look at her and go, who the hell are you? You don't belong to us. Like, what? Like, this, excuse me, who are you? Like, get out, they'll kill her, right? So she knows who her tribe are. She knows her people. Like I say, you know, I've got a business partner that I do some work with on the Helium, and I love her because this is someone that so sees me. And sometimes she comes to me, she's like, Alika, you know, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm like, they don't like me. I'm like, babe, believe you me, I had to learn the hard way. These are my people. They know me, they see me, they love me. They buy everything from me, they follow me, these are my people. And these are the people that I just trigger the hell out of because they are not ready for the evolution that I'm going to bring to them. And that she knows that she is not for everybody. So where in your life are you trying to fit yourself, squeeze yourself, play small, contribute yourself to this person that you are not, because that's not your tribe? I would say those two are enough to start with.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And again, it's inspiring for a lot of women to hear, because I think a lot of those messages are accessible for men at any point in their lives, and women don't get them as often.
Yeah.
And I think it's really helpful that you said it.
Yeah.
Well, so that, you know, dovetails beautifully with our final question that we ask every guest. And I love asking you because you are 42, and so you're in the 40s right now.
Yeah.
What can you offer as a 40s formula to our listeners? What are the components, the mathematical equation for thriving and being successful, you know, at the expense of using that word, in this decade? What do you perceive?
I think what I want to share when I hear that, and I love that, thank you, I didn't think about that question, I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Because then you just get the raw, pure, unfiltered download. Obviously, I use energy as a measurement for success. And as I teach everyone that's in my world, that energy is your most valuable currency. You're not getting paid for the job you do. You're getting paid for the energy you do it. So please preserve this like you would do your most precious thing. So I would want everybody to know these teachings around energy. There are four layers of your energetic body. There's the physical energetic field. And that's what you people see when they see you, your physical body. Yes, so how you look, all of that. When you diet and when you exercise, that's what most people are doing. But you're only working on your physical body over there. Don't stop there. don't stop with that first energetic layer of the physical body, because there's so much more. And there are three. And the second layer is your emotional body, your emotional fear, energetic field. I can't feel your frustration. I can't feel your anger. Now I can measure it with technology, thankfully. I'm like, thank God for my healing. I'm like, I measure you. I'm going to measure your energy there. So, but you can feel that. And so when you feel this energetic body, these emotions, which is energy that's moving through your body, have a relationship with it. What do you feel in this moment? What is those feelings telling you? So if those feelings are high energy frequencies, which we can measure them, that's things like joy, you know, excitement, enlightenment, peace, harmony, great. But if you're constantly experiencing these lower frequencies like frustration, which is on the energy frequency chart, that's somewhere in the middle, or even worse, the lower frequencies like anger and fear, right? These lower frequencies, fear is also a primal instinct as well as an emotion. But that's a signal for you to make change. Because if you're in these lower frequencies all the time, it's signaling that there's something that you need to bring you back into those higher frequencies of joy. Then we have the mental field, the mental energy field. And I can't feel your anxiety, but you can experience it, right? Anxiety to me is your mind is in the future, depression is in the past, but you need to be in the present moment. So where are you going in the future that's not bringing you back to this present moment? And, you know, that ruminating that so many of my clients do, where they come to me and they're all in their head, yes, ruminating thought after thought. You know, even just you thinking about what I'm saying now, that ruminating over that, I can't feel that, but you know it. But where do you need to create space in that mental field so that new thoughts and ideas that are so much purer than what's in your existing encyclopedia, that's in the software that you've been given, that these pure thoughts can come to you because they're the ones that are personalized for you. And the last field is what I call the collective field. In quantum physics, we call this the information field. In the spiritual world, they call it the aura. You know, when you walk into a room, that elite alphas know this, when they walk into the room, there's a presence that they have that they give to others, right? That's their aura. That I call this collective field. It's the field that you and I are exchanging, being in each other's presence now. And it's the field that I wish so many more people would just focus on their inner work so that their field that they exchange with others is a lot more cleaner.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lot more cleaner. We need to clean up our collective field so that when we exchange these energies with each other, they're coming from a pure estate, and we also need to protect ourselves. So what I say about this last field is, be mindful of this energetic field, this collective field that you have around you. When you work on your physical, mental, and emotional, a byproduct will be that you will be magnetic, because that collective field will be so much more purer. But notice that that is a field that's protecting your physical body, your mental body, and your emotional body. So be mindful of who you let penetrate that field as well.
I do love that. And do you know what, like, you talking about that is really strange, because I always say, like, I feel like Amanda has just got this energy, like, you know, like, it's just, you radiate this energy, which I love. So, you know, you can see it, you can feel it, you can feel other people's energies, and I think it's great.
That's it. And when you speak to her, I know when I speak to a woman or a guy, yeah, without even speaking to them, I know whether they're working on the physical body, them, and their mental and emotional, yeah, body, because I know it by just looking at their collective field.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, no, we definitely know your work.
I'm saying thanks for the kind notes on the collective field. I'll tell you guys, but really, I mean, Alika, this conversation, yeah, has been amazing,
yeah,
revolutionary, truly, yeah, like nothing we've ever had on the show. Yeah. And I so thank you, yeah, for bringing that point.
Well, watch
the
space.
Watch the space for what's next, and obviously the show notes we'll tack on there as well. But thank you for being here today. Yeah. We hope to have you back again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Want more from the 40s formula? Every Friday, we'll be sending our 4Play Friday newsletter direct to your inbox with 4 hot topics, tips, and trends personally curated by Jasmine and Amanda.
All you need to do is visit the40sformula.com and sign up with your email address. That's the 40sformula.com. This is Paul, our editor.
He's a 25-year-old unmarried Singaporean guy listening to the ramblings of 12 older women on everything from menopause to weightlifting to sex. So, Paul, what's your thoughts on today's conversation?
Alpha, beta, sigma, and other types. So, I mean, obviously, I'm definitely not an alpha, nor do I kind of desire to be one, because it's just not who I am, I guess. You know, I'm just probably a chill beta, hanging in the corner, editing this podcast essentially, and enjoying a peaceful life of humility, I guess. So, yeah.
Guys, you know how much we love coffee. And if you want to show us some love, you know you can get us one.
Just visit buymeacoffee.com/the40s formula. Cheers. Before we go, please remember to hit subscribe and take a moment to support the 40s formula by leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform.
Your reviews will help us to reach more people and allow us to continue to bring valuable content. It should only take a moment, and it's a free way for you to support the show.
You can also stay updated with the 40s formula by following us on Instagram at the 40s formula, all one word. We share behind the scenes insights, episode updates, and much more. So please be sure to hit that follow button.
We appreciate your time and support. Thank you for being part of this community. And we'll be back next week for more empowering conversations with inspiring guests.
Bye. Bye.
Lighting is
that
right, and clinic lighting is not great either because it's just super bright for us.
Yeah,
right? So it's like, oh, it's never going to be like warm and cozy and beautiful.
That one
know?
That makes you look a bit flawless.
And yes. Yeah, no one's mad at this lighting, okay? All good, work us all out.
Well, talking about flawless, I have to say, when I was looking at the Chris's episode, yeah. I was like, god damn, my skin looks so good.
Yeah, that was a good lighting day.
Yeah, it must have been.
I am a bit leggy today, so tell me. I don't know why I was so leggy. I didn't even think about what to wear for this. I was thinking about my whole day and about that I'm running around.